The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization which encourages informed and active participation in government. This forum is part of our ongoing voter education effort to help voters make informed decisions about the upcoming elections. We hope you learn about the candidates today through their statements and replies to the question. Other ways to learn about candidates are the Skagit County Voters Pamphlet, and we have some in the back if by chance you receive one in the mail, our candidates' websites, and articles, interviews, and our wonderful robo newspapers. I will now turn the meeting over to our moderator, Jason Noel.
Thank you, Jim. Welcome. All candidates for the general election were contacted and invited to attend. I will start by explaining some procedures for the forum. Each candidate is invited to make an opening and closing statement of a minute and a half each, and will have a minute and a half to answer each question. We will rotate the order of responses by the candidates. The timekeepers are sitting in the first row. The timekeepers will indicate when there are 30 seconds remain and when there are 10 seconds remaining to finish your answer. Please wrap up when you see the stop card. If you continue speaking after the stop card is held up, I will say thank you and move on to the next speaker. Personal references about other candidates are out of order. Please turn off your cell phones and please no recording of the candidates. Please remain quiet throughout the forum, no clapping, cheering, or calling out, with the exception that after their closing statements, you may clap for all candidates. No campaign literature or signs are allowed inside this room. That literature is out in at my screen next door. Okay, so we will begin. The first panel is for the Hamilton candidates. Hamilton Council position 4, who believe they are not in attendance today. Is that correct? Okay. So we do apologize for anyone in attendance from Hamilton for making the effort to attend. We could predict if the candidates might show up. So we will move on to Lyman. And I'm seeing name tags over here for the Lyman candidates, which also tells me that no Lyman candidates are here. Is that correct? That is correct. So we will move on to Town of Concrete campaigns. The first panel will be Town of Concrete Mayor. That is, the two candidates are Jeremy Akers and Marla Reed. The two of you can come up and have a seat here behind your tents. And we will begin with their opening statements. You have a minute and a half each for your opening statements. Jeremy Akers, you would go first.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming, and thanks to the League of Women Voters for putting this together. I got to think on my feet here. I planned on reciting the Gettysburg Address. Jason kind of ruined that for me. So I live here in town, right on Main Street. I have the Hub Tavern next door and the liquor store across the street. Running for mayor for a few different reasons, but buying the Hub was one of the things we did was to protect the heritage and the history of the town. I think that's important right now with new development and things like that coming in, and which direction we take when it comes to development and community involvement. I mean, this theater alone, 1923, was built. The ice cream shop next door has a family name on it that's still in the area, and I think the most important thing is protecting the community. And those names, the heritage, the history, and just more of a voice for the community now. I'm involved constantly in those two places with talking to the majority of people here in town, and even in this room, I don't think there's, I can't find anyone that I don't know. So, yeah, Jeremy Akers and running for mayor.
My name is Marla Reed. I have lived here since 1995. My family has, was some of the original settlers in Skagit County and then up here in Concrete. So I have, for all of my life, always knew that I would live in Concrete. I started on the town council in 2005 and enjoyed that. And in 2022, when the previous mayor stepped down, I was appointed to the mayor. It's been an interesting couple of years, and I am looking to be reelected so I can move forward with a lot of the projects that have been started and conclude them. I enjoy walking through town and visiting with people and hearing what they have to say about what's going on in town. I want to see our heritage preserved, yet moving forward in a positive way, especially with businesses. And I look forward to being your new mayor.
Thank you. We will move into the Q&A portion now.
Do each have a minute and a half to answer each question. Question number one, please share with us your top priorities or issues that you would like to address if elected and why you believe they are important to the town of Funkby. We'll begin with Marubi.
One of the top priorities that I'm hoping to get reversed is the chlorination of our water. And we have been working with the health department, and hopefully we can go back to where we just have the natural spring water and no more chlorination. Economic development. I really want to continue to work on the Main Street businesses, that we get more businesses in town and not empty buildings or renting them out to people that live in them, so that we can grow our economic development. Those are the two of the prime things that I see need to be worked on in this town.
Okay, Jeremy Akers, same question. Please share with us your top priorities or issues that you would like to address if elected and why you believe they are important to the Talibar.
Well, first of all, I agree with Marla on both those points, 100%. The chlorination of the water was a big deal, and I think that leads into one of the other top priorities I would have, which would be managing contractors and town contracts, and some of those things, when you look at it at a ground level, is the chlorination of the water was brought in by a third party, and the way that they test and the frequency is how that chlorination got added. So you got to look at if something like that is for profit or if the company doing it is looking for more of a maintenance standpoint, to where they're putting something onto our spring boxes to where now they have to maintain that. So just digging a little deeper onto those things, but the economic development absolutely is a top priority as well. Just making Main Street and the town more attractive to local businesses and really supporting and shoring up the businesses that are here. And I'd say the last thing would be just community involvement in general when it comes to meeting, is just having those regular discussions with the people of Concrete and making sure that if there is a resolution on the floor or something's getting voted on, that that's fully understood by the community before it goes to town council, so council can make an informed decision based on the feedback from the community.
Thank you. Question number two, please share your perspective on a productive relationship between the mayor and town council. Would be Mayor Jeremy Akers.
That one for sure. I mean, this in the town of Concrete, it's a council-run government, so the decisions go through the town council. They're the ones voting on it. So the mayor, I'd say, is that voice for the community to make sure that it's clearly communicated to the council members on what the community feels is the direction they want to move on those, on any of those issues. So it's kind of the liaison between the community and public works with town council, because the council is required to show up to those meetings and obviously be informed, but the mayor is handling the day-to-day and dealing with public works, the town clerk, town treasurer, and all of the contracts as well, all the contractors and just making sure that we have competitive bids coming in. So once something comes to council, they know what they're voting on. So the mayor is really just not really, it's that liaison, I guess. That would be the best way to put it. Completely understanding what the community wants and making sure that these meetings are a little more streamlined and it's not a discussion during the meeting. And that's the first discussion or time that a council member's hearing of something. So just making sure that all of those issues are clearly communicated between the mayor and council.
Okay, same question to Marta Reed. Please share your perspective on a productive relationship between the mayor and Tom Palso.
Well, same. I'm not going to repeat everything Jeremy said because he's right. And it's also, I believe, encouraging the council to seek out people that want to have an opinion about what's going on in town, because they need to hear it from them too, not just from the mayor. And that way, like I encourage the council right now to make sure that they listen to the people, that people go and talk to them, because they need, you know, they're voted in by the people in this town and they need to hear what all of our constituents really do want.
Okay, question number 3. Mears Field, a municipal airport for Talon Concrete, had a 5-year deficit of $231,000 as of July Thumbtron 5. What do you propose to address this issue? You get on Marley.
We need to really look at the cost and the income coming in. We are in the process right now of looking at the leases for up there, and we need to bring them up to what the standard, what other airports pay as well. And we need to look at the costs that we're charging out to the airport and make sure that they are all valid for the airport.
Jeremy Akers, same question. Mears Field had a 5-year deficit of $231,000 as of July 2025. What you propose to address this issue?
I think Mears Field, I mean, what Marla said, absolutely. You've got to look at leases there. But I also think we need to look at Mears Field more of a town asset. When you look at the town as a whole, that's part of the town. So that deficit, where can we make up the difference? Is it in what we're spending on town projects now? Is there other ways that the airport can generate revenue? We've got a pretty solid group of citizens up there now that are willing to keep that place in pretty much tip-top shape. It's one of the nicer airports if you drive around. It's very unique. So to me, that's one of preserving that and making sure that we can, you know, get rid of the budget shortfall there or come up with ways for the airport to generate more revenue. Is there anything else we can do to make it more attractive for pilots to come in to refuel, which then are in town spending money, which is generating more tax revenue for the town? But to me, it's really a whatever it takes to make sure that the budget shortfall is figured out, because Mears Field is very unique nationwide. And we've got a pretty proud group of citizens up there that mow the lawn and install sprinklers and make it kind of a crown jewel of the area. So we'll look at different ways to shore that up, and maybe it's something else. Maybe it's saving money somewhere else.
Okay, question number 4. Please reflect on a decision you have made in the leadership position that went well or you wish had a better outcome. What, if anything, would you have changed, and why? It started at Jeremy Diggers.
I spent nearly 20 years in a leadership position, in corporate leadership position, to where I was dealing with 119 local branches across the country. And I think every time I stepped into one of those situations, I looked at what was there foundationally. I never was walking in to change anything. It was, what do you have? What are you working with? How do you shore up the foundation and build from that? That same approach would be brought here to town. And in those situations, I don't think I would have changed anything, because you're working with the people that have spent a lot of time in the company, and a lot of times people in that situation would walk in and look at, who can I get rid of? Who can I fire? Who do we need to change? But I never looked at it that way. I looked at it as, how do we get more engagement with what we're working with? So those, I'd say, were the wins. I mean, I was successful with that approach, because then you're getting buy-in from the people that you're working with. And as far as decisions I made, I mean, we all make decisions that you regret. So I can't think of a specific example, because I always think the best thing to do in that scenario is, how do you change it? And how do you improve on what you feel was a bad decision? So, yeah.
Same question to Marla Reed. Please reflect on a decision you have made in a leadership position that went well, or you wish had a better outcome. What, if anything, would you have changed, and why?
I guess as far as any decision, I think that it's maybe doing more investigating and make sure and seeing the whole picture, and talking to more people and making sure that I'm not missing any aspect before making a decision, which in this case, it's also making sure that the council is fully aware, so that they can give good advice, or that they can make the good decisions.
Now move on to closing statements. We'll begin with Marla Reed. Each candidate will have a minute and a half for their closing statements.
So I did think a lot about whether or not to run again for this position. My life is very busy, but I have enjoyed it, and I really want to see many projects that have been started in the last couple of years conclude, like the bike park and the pavilion that goes with it. Like I said, the water go back to non-chlorination. There were some other ones. And more economic development with the Main Street businesses, getting people off of Highway 20, which has been an ongoing problem for many years. Anyway, I look forward to your votes and being able to be your mayor again.
Jeremy Akers, closing statement.
In closing, I would just, kind of wrap up everything that I'd mentioned already. As mayor, I'm available at least 6 days a week. On that seventh day, I might be either having breakfast next door or up in the apartment. But other than that, I'm in one of the two buildings here on Main Street, so I've got a lot of face-to-face communication with the community. And as mayor, I would also make sure that I was a voice for the community as far as these decisions that are being made, and making sure that what I learn and through discussions is what's being conveyed back to council and what's voted on. And everything Marla said too, I mean, there's a lot of projects going on right now, and that's great. That momentum needs to keep going. Bringing more business into town, protecting the heritage of the town, protecting its citizens, and just making sure that outside influence isn't coming in to kind of change the community, because I love it. I mean, it's completely amazing what we have up here. We're surrounded by, you know, some of the most beautiful nature and national forests in the country. We've got a lot of unique things going on. It's not going to be long before that becomes attractive to a lot more people. And we got to really be, we've got to really look at intentions and what is coming into the area, and how do we protect the people, the citizens that have been here forever, and just the way of life, the charm that the town has and the character. So as mayor, those are the things I'd be protecting, and I appreciate your votes.
Thank you, Candace. Okay, the next panel will be for Concrete Town Council Physician 3. Candidates are Billy Bellinger and Drew Jenkins. They may come on down. Oh, that's right, we're going to puddle. That's right, sorry. What we're going to do, come on up, Billy. What we're going to do is we have also have concrete town council position by the two candidates are Jan Gunnarsson and Michael Werner. And Michael is here. Michael, what is it? You come down. There you are. Come on down, too. We're going to seat you all at the same time. Okay, let's start with the opening statements. We will start with Billy Bellinger. You have a minute and a half, Billy.
Thank you, Jason. So obviously I'm running for position three on the town council. I've lived in Washington State most of my life and mostly in small towns like Concrete, so I'm well aware of small town politics. My education is in horticulture and accounting. My elected positions that I've had in the past are Secretary-Treasurer of the Elk Community Park and Cemetery Board, the Maui County Arborist Committee, and currently I am in position two on the Concrete Town Council. I'm a lifelong volunteer. Currently, I am the Concrete Parks Chairperson. I manage the Angel Couples Community Garden. I'm a member of the Adopt-a-Spot program. I do the landscaping at 5Bs, and I work with the renovation of the old school building. I've been working hard already on the economic development of the town. I'm probing into the airport issues, and I study diligently on all the issues that are coming up into town council so that I can make the best decisions for Concrete and for the local area. Thank you.
Thank you. Drew Jenkins, your opening statement, please.
Hi, I'm Drew. I've lived here for 21 years. I was born and raised on the East Coast. I work as a full-time firefighter for Siege Relief Fire. I got hired there last year. I'm also part of the Concrete Volunteer Fire Department up here, and I'm also the training officer for the Skagit Regional Fire Authority, which is our next-door neighbors. I worked for the airport museum that was up at the airport starting in 2004, and then when it lost all its funding, ended up losing my place to live up there, but I didn't want to leave Concrete, so I bought a house here in town down at the bottom of the hill. So I've been living there since 2018. I've been trying to be as involved in the community as I can through the EMS side and all of that. I also work for part-time for Skagit Aero Medical Services, which is over here across the street. Big things are my dad has a hangar up at the airport. I've been extremely involved in the airport for the last 21 years since I moved up here. Finding all of the balances between all of the budgets and the stuffs and the things that go on within the town have been a big priority for me. I was in this position for the last 4 years, so I'm looking to continue doing it again.
Opening statement from Mike Werner.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. I'm going to take my time to give a little bio and introduce myself since I'm probably the new kid in town. We bought up here in 2018 and were part-timers up until a year ago, and we've been full-time residents since then. In the past 5 or 6 years, I've been a somewhat normal face in the audience at town council meetings. So I've learned a lot about how that goes. I was born and raised in Northeast Indiana in a small town, not unlike Concrete. The big difference is there's a working stoplight and the railroad tracks are still in place. But other than that, a lot of the same issues that we see here in Concrete exist back in Waterloo, Indiana. I migrated from there by joining the Air Force, went to the East Coast, did a bunch of stuff that I can't talk a lot about, and then made my way out here some 12 years ago and then moved up here recently.
We'll move into the Q&A portion. You have a minute and a half to answer each question. First question is, where do you see people struggling in this community?
Begin with Drew Jenkins.
I'd probably say the biggest thing that we see struggling in our community is we just recently had an income survey that was supposed to be filled out by our local population, and there were a lot of people in there who don't really trust the government and didn't want to give all of that information out to all of us. And so we actually ended up not getting all of the information that we needed to do the update in the income survey. So that leads me to believe that we have a lot of people up here who are not well off, not well to do. And I wouldn't necessarily say that's a struggle within the community, but it's definitely a big point in my head to make sure that resources are available to them. One of my fellow council members works at the shelter place over here, and to be able to help give those resources, we've got the food bank that's up here. The struggling with them being able to come to us to bring their problems with thinking that we're some big bad government agency that's just gonna push them off to the side and everything like that. I think that's probably one of the bigger things that I see.
Okay, next, Mike Werner, same question.
Well, I'm amazed that this town has such a wide variety of economic circumstances. There are people who do very well, and there are others that scratch by. And I think to the credit of the way the town is structured and the people that are in this town, people of all economic realms do a good job with their day-to-day lives. Community efforts, which this town does a very nice job with, provide support to those that need it. Drew mentioned the food bank and some other things. What I think we should do, though, is keep our eye on where we can provide additional boost to people that need a little more help by way of government ensuring that the services and supports that people need are in place, such as encouraging better access to medical care and better access to all the other things that people need in their day-to-day lives.
Billy Bellinger.
Thank you.
Could you read the question at home today?
Where do you see people struggling in your community?
Okay, thank you. I agree with both the gentlemen. They're 100% right. The lower income people in this town are struggling, and we're doing everything we can to help them. We've got the food bank, we've got the resource center. I think just making sure that we're out there seeing what's going on, what's happening. The commissions and the committees and the council are all discussing economic development, trying to get more people into town, trying to make it a little more accessible for people to not have to go all the way to downriver to get the groceries, to get medical attention. All of those kind of things are definitely a struggle. I mean, I've had a couple times when I haven't been able to get all the way to Mount Vernon for medical attention. So I think that's the biggest struggles in this area. The lower income people and the distance to get what we really need. Bringing all that into town, helping to bring that into town will be a big thing for the council to work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. Please share your perspective on a productive relationship between the mayor and town council. We'll begin with Mike Werner.
Thank you. As I mentioned in my intro, I've spent a lot of time at council meetings observing the way things work, and it strikes me that while the mayor should orchestrate the movement of the council, it's incumbent upon the council members to step up and know what the citizens' feelings are about the issues, number one, and number two, know how to create action from the knowledge. And I would, and one reason why I decided to run is I think it would be great to have some new perspective, fresh blood, if you will, in the town council to ask those questions and provide those viewpoints that come from the townspeople. You know, it's all of us in this town. It's not just the town council people. And I'd like to see council be more proactive and active and not just sit back and rubber stamp things that are brought up.
Okay, next, Billy Bellinger.
Thank you. I feel that the council and the mayor should always have a good relationship. Communication is extremely important, not just talking about something or about someone, but talking with someone and making sure that we're communicating the correct information and not assuming that what someone is saying is the absolute fact. So I think the biggest thing for the council and the mayor as a relationship is definitely communication. Thank you.
Okay, question number three. Please share with us your top priorities or issues.
Oops.
The perspective on productive relationship between the mayor and city council.
I think the most productive relationship is being able, from the council standpoint, is empowering our mayor and our public works director, our clerk treasurer, and all of that, of them empowering those people to be able to do their job and then being able to give adequate information back to the council for us to be able to make policies, financial decisions, all of that stuff that all end up serving best serves the citizens. You know, with my full-time job and everything that I have going on in my life, I'm not able to keep my thumb completely on the pulse of everything that's going on in the town, and I have to be able to rely on the mayor and all of the people who work for the town to be able to bring all of that adequate information back to us so that we can make really good informed decisions when it comes best to serving the people that, you know, grace us with the ability to serve on the council and in those positions. So I think that level of communication and having that trust and that open communication with our mayor is probably the biggest positive that we can have with a good working relationship.
Please share with us your top priorities or issues that you would like to address if elected and why you believe they are important to Taos Concrete. Begin with Mike Warren.
Well, as I think I've heard a few times already, something that I've learned from speaking to folks in the town as I've started this campaign, water is a big issue for virtually everyone I've spoken with. And you know, we know firsthand that the water quality has gone downhill from 4 or 5 years ago. So we need to get that fixed, and that shouldn't be a huge problem, but we need to, you know, roll up their sleeves and get in there and get that chlorination problem taken care of, get the water quality back to what it was. Another big thing that in conversations I've heard almost universally is the sewer rates are too high, and I have to wonder what's going on there, because everybody says, you know, I'm paying $189 a month for water, and Sarah, what's going on here? So those are two big things. And then I'd like to straighten out the economic mess with the airport.
Okay, Billy Bellinger.
I'm sorry.
Top priorities or issues you'd like to address?
Well, I think one of many top priorities is the economic development in this town. Just getting more businesses in to bring more money in to correct problems like the sewer and the water, getting the airport, all of those issues taken care of as soon as possible. It's been lingering on far too long, and it's time to make some decisions on that. getting all of our volunteers, fire department, the truck, and those are very important issues. Public safety, what do you call it? Health and human safety?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are very important. Economic development, fire department, and just keeping the town moving forward is a very big issue for me, rather than letting it slip back. It seems like it slipped back a little bit as far as all the empty buildings downtown, lack of businesses coming into town. So keeping everything moving forward is very important to me. Thank you.
Thank you. That Drew Gendes.
So one of my big top priorities, I think, is actually having an extremely well-balanced budget within the town. Andrea does a great job for us finding grant funding to be able to do a lot of the projects and stuff that we have here, but deep diving a little bit more into our budgets to figure out where money is being spent that maybe can be allocated for other things to improve the town. Bringing business into the town is also another big priority for this town. Figuring out how to get a couple new fire trucks up at our fire station, because we're way behind on that. I'm part of the airport commission now, so making sure that everything that's been going on up at the airport and stuff gets solved by next year is big priority. And then the other big priority too that I have is making sure that, you know, I can encourage younger generation to also sit up here with me on the council, because we need to be able to rely on people moving forward who are my age or a little bit younger to take the reins and take the lead to be able to replace the people who are currently sitting on the council, and showing them that, you know, the younger generation can be heard and that we bring good ideas and bring good movements forward.
Thank you. Question number 4. In the event that Concrete got a $1 million grant to use for the town, what would you do with it and why? We'll begin with Billy Bellinger.
I believe the first thing I would do is to buy a new fire truck, and then I would move some of it into the issues that are plaguing the airport and the sewer systems and the water systems, get all those little things that are lingering, get them all taken care of, use that money wisely, and continue to move us forward.
Drew Jenkins.
If we got $1 million grant right now, I would probably encourage the council to go towards the fire truck is a big one. Brand new fire truck right now is a $1.3 million, and it's a 3-year wait. So taking some of that money to actually go onto a payment plan rather than just spending all $1 million right out of the gate so that we can make yearly payments on that would be really awesome. Another big one would be also looking into, can any of that money be put into getting rid of the chlorination in our water? Those are two big ones for me. And as our current mayor stated, I really like the idea of putting some of that money towards being able to finish up the bike park and put the pavilion that comes along with it. I know that's been a big thing on a lot of the citizens and stuff here with making that pavilion up in there. And then being able to take some of that money, because I've heard from some of the younger generation, of being able to revamp our skate park and make that a little bit more for, because we don't have a lot of stuff in this town for kids to be able to go do that, and that was a big one when I was growing up, was having a skate park or a place to be able to go and hang out with the friends and all of that. So that's what I would do.
And Mike Warner?
I would echo the comments that we've just heard. A fire truck is something that's high on the wish list, and it's a linchpin in keeping the town's fire department intact rather than being absorbed by another district. Fixing the water problem, of course, is at the top, and paying down the debt or releasing the debt that we still have against the waste treatment system needs to be looked at again. But then again, it also comes to mind, what are the conditions with that $1 million you want to give us? Sometimes we get this grant money, and next thing you know, there's a condition that says, oh, well, you got to have a full-time employee to go along with what you build. Or you have to start looking at the long-term ramifications of taking that money. How much does that affect your budget in the long term, maintaining what it is that you decided to spend the money on? So think about the global picture, and best bang for the buck, the easy answer is a fire truck and the water system.
Thank you. Each candidate will now have a minute and a half before his closing statement. You begin with Drew Jenbitz.
So like I said before, you know, when I first ran 4 years ago, my big platform then was to bring younger generation into the town council. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of being a pretty loud voice on the council. When it comes to stating my opinions and moving things forward, I really enjoyed it. I went back and forth on whether or not to run this year and stuff, but I felt like I had more things to accomplish before throwing in the towel and then hopefully letting somebody else steer the reins that I had started. I enjoy this community. I enjoy this town. I have no inclinations of moving out of the town ever. I'd like to grow old up here, retire up here, and all of that, and I look forward to people's votes to continue on over the next 4 years.
Mike Warder.
Thank you. Well, I would like to be seen as the change candidate. I'd like to make some fundamental changes in how the town operates with regard to how the town council comes to decisions, and I'd also like to see a significant look at how the town spends money. And part of that comes down to how the accounting is done. You know, you mentioned that we've got a $231,000 deficit at the airport. I'd like to put some litmus paper against that and just ask the question, if the airport went away tomorrow, we still have all those expenses. And I would venture to guess that probably 80% of that stuff that's on the airport ledger would still be there if we had an airport or not. And then the other side of that coin is, how can we do a better job of realizing some income from the airport and some of the other things that go on in the budget? How do we balance some of these things out to where the town has the necessary monies to do all the things that need to be done and continue paying for things that we have encumbered? It's a whole lot there, but I think we can get a lot done. Thank you.
And Billy Bellinger.
Thank you, Jason. I feel like this is a place I would like to call home for the rest of my life, and I would like for my children and grandchildren to feel the same way. And just making this town a better place in any way we can is really going to make that come about. We have a lot of issues that we have to deal with ongoing, whether we have something now or something later. There's still always going to be issues for the council to deal with, and I would be happy to be there to deal with those issues. Whether I'm on the council or not, I'm still always going to be involved in the community, my volunteer work, and getting more, like Drew said, more youth involved in not just in the council and what's going on, but also getting more things for them to do after school, on the weekends, during the summer, just bringing in as much activity as we can, which includes the bike park and the skate park and a lot of different events and activities. So just making this place a place that we want to call home is where I stand. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. Let's give the candidates a round of applause. Our next panel is for Concrete School District 11, Director Position 3. Two candidates are Christy Coggins, Janet Culver. Janet Culver is not present today. And we will begin again with opening statements. You have a minute and a half for your opening statement. Christy Coggins.
Thank you. I had a whole lot written out, actually, and now after hearing everybody else, more of my bio is that I'm not from here. I'm from Texas. I'm from Houston, so a big city. This is my first small town, and the school district is ran completely different from what I'm used to. And so I feel like I've been here long enough that I'm ready to have a voice and ready to help everybody else have a voice that has not necessarily been willing to either come to the board meetings or feel like kids might get reprimanded or any of the sort. I'm willing to be a voice that's not necessarily a quiet voice for our students and families. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the question and answer portion of the forum. You will have a minute and a half to answer each of these questions. In Washington State, the law mandates that public schools must provide education to all children residing within the state's borders, regardless of their immigration or citizenship status. Do you support this law? Please explain.
Of course. Of course, I encourage all kids to go to school. I'm not one that is willing to let even my kids stay at home for just because they feel ill or whatnot. Like, I encourage everybody to get an education, even beyond high school. If anybody knows my kids, you know that college is pretty much a mandatory. Going to school, getting A's and B's is pretty much a mandatory. So I would expect all kids, whether any of their background, ethnicity, any of the sort, they should be in school so that they can survive as adults in the big world.
Number two, what are two goals you would propose for the superintendent, and how would you ensure accountability of those goals?
The top goal that I would say for our superintendent is to listen to not only our staff, but our teachers. Again, we have a lot of families that are not engaging as much as they should, because they may or may not want or feel like they can come to, you know, principals or superintendent or anybody. And I want the superintendent, principal, all the staff to be willing to actually listen to what families or students have to say and not disregard just because they, you know, may be younger or new to the town or whatever the case. The second is I would like additional classes brought to the school district. Council talks about there's not a whole heck of a lot up here for students to do in a small town, and so I think we should bring, and I hope that the staff would stand behind bringing additional, you know, trade classes or vocational classes into our school district. I know that we have some that we can travel down to the city for, but it would increase economic development, like council was talking about also, if we brought more things for them to do up here. Thank you.
Thank you.
What is your strategy for communicating with the public about how tax dollars and levy funds are being used?
I think honesty really is the best policy. If somebody wants to ask directly, then they should get a direct answer. If their tax money is going towards the levies, then they should be known. If they want more detailed information, I would strongly encourage everybody go to the board meetings. That's where I started getting involved, is just going and listening and trying to include myself. But that's the only way. You can't sit at home and expect to learn things if you're never willing to get out there and try to learn it.
How will you protect intellectual freedom and freedom of speech in schools and their libraries?
Freedom of speech should be a given, right? Anybody should be allowed to speak their minds, but at the same time, there's a certain time and place for these speeches to take place. So it goes back to the feeling like you're listened to as a student, or even in the libraries with the text, they should not be forced upon. They should be, kids should be able to talk freely whenever they need to talk to an adult. They should be able to talk to an adult. If a kid is saying strongly that they don't want to read a particular book in the library, then they should not be forced to, but they should be given all the information from whichever side of the debate they're trying to be taught. They should not be forced to learn just one side of things.
We'll now move on to your closing statement. You have a minute and a half for your closing statement.
I'm just looking forward to being on school board. I'm hopeful that I might get voted in, like some of the council members were talking about. I'm not part of the older generation. I'm part of the younger, so I'm hoping that more parents might be willing to approach me, and I'm at all the sporting events pretty much. So I'm hoping just to be able to talk with different families, with different, you know, students coming in. I have several students in the district, so of different ages. So I'm hoping that even my kids talking with their kids and talking with their parents, that it all kind of trickles down to communication and maybe being myself the fresh blood on the school board.
Thank you, Candidate Coggetts. A few closing notes here. Please remember to vote on or before November 4 in the August primary. 294 votes in Skagit County alone were disqualified because they weren't placed in ballot boxes before 8 p.m. or were mailed too late. If using the mail, the U.S. Post Office recommends that you mail a week before Election Day. And that concludes this afternoon's 4. Thank you, Burton.